A bronzed skin girl plays with a doll she's fashioned out of paper. Holding it up to the sunlight, she takes her time to fasten a new outfit onto it, an outfit she has also colored and cut out of paper. She loves designing and making pretty, bright outfits for her doll. They make her feel pretty and bright, safe and secure. Feeling pretty and bright, safe and secure is no small feat, not for her nor for others around her. A brutal foreign army has taken over their land, so her family and all the people in town have fled their homes and evacuated to higher ground, seeking refuge in the mountains. The girl was actually born in one of these refugee camps. It's all she's known at her young age. And for as long as she can remember, she's heard stories of these invaders. Stories about what they will do if they find you, if they capture you. Stories that make your skin crawl, your heart race, your mind descend to dark, desolate places. Stories that make you almost wish that you and your family had never been born. No, she doesn't like to think of these stories. She prefers her paper doll and her paper outfits that she can design, color, control. They make her feel pretty and bright, safe and secure. This young girl eventually grows into a capable, strong woman who loves outfits, bright, colorful outfits. She moves to another country, becomes a successful professional, marries, has children, raises them in a home with a nice green lawn and trees all around. But for this woman, danger still lurks around every corner, potential enemies at every turn. Curtains are kept drawn and closed even during daytime, so people from outside can't see in. The doorbell is never answered unless someone calls in advance announcing their intention to come by. The drop of a fork from the dinner table is, for her, like the sound of a bomb, causing her to startle nervously and react with anger. You see, the worst case scenario is, and always has been for her, the first. Fear is where she resides, anxiety, the air she breathes. So when she learns she is ill, with a disease that may take her life, she holds this information close and shares it only with her husband. Why should anyone else know? She will face this enemy, this intruder and invader on her own terms, keeping her suffering private. She's never allowed herself to be vulnerable, or at least never let anyone see her being anything other than pretty and bright, safe and secure. So she picks the outfit she wants to be buried in for when the time comes and shows her husband where it's hanging in the closet. And in the gray dark of early morning, he hears her mumbling and wailing as she wrestles with unseen demons in her half sleep. I wonder, what would it take for this woman to heal, to truly heal? What does it take for individuals, families, communities, nations to heal? Why does healing happen for some and not for all, at least from what we ourselves can see? And what does God have to do with any of it? Our story from Mark's Gospel today spotlights Jesus, the healer. Jesus, who by his touch cools that feverish heat as he reaches out with his hand to raise you up. Jesus, whose voice has the power to dissipate those thoughts, those stories, those memories, those fears, those things which are not of God, which would possess you and me. Jesus, whose presence invites any and all who are broken in body, mind, or spirit, any and all who desire to be whole, who desire to be healed, to gather, and to crowd upon his doorstep unannounced. Can you hear them? Can you hear the crowd's voices calling out and blending with ours? Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on her. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us all, our families, our city, our nation, our planet. Each of us, all of us, yearn for your touch, your voice, your healing presence. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy. So how do we heal? What makes us whole in body, mind, and spirit? The process of healing is at its heart a mystery, wrapped up as it is in the holy mystery that is God. And yet there do seem to be some common themes, echoes, threads in common, if you will, when it comes to healing and experiences of healing. As research professor and best-selling author Brené Brown has helped to catapult into our public consciousness and discourse, healing begins with vulnerability, an acceptance and acknowledgement, and naming and claiming that all is not right. Each person who showed up on Simon's mother-in-law's doorstep had come to a place of acknowledgement and acceptance that she or he was not well and was in need of help from something bigger and greater than himself or herself, and was also willing to come out, to go public with this. And lo and behold, when each left her home at sundown that night, having waited until the Sabbath was officially over to seek help, each noticed another also leaving her home, and another, seeking Jesus. In fact, it turns out the whole city comes to gather around the door. Healing, it seems, can begin when we realize we are not alone in our suffering. But this realization depends first on our coming out and our willingness to be vulnerable before and in front of others. Our work together in Sacred Ground, the Episcopal Church's discussion series and curriculum addressing systemic racism and its historical roots in our country, that 70 of us here at Redeemer are currently engaged in together. Sacred Ground is all about accepting and acknowledging, naming and claiming out loud and in public the woundedness of our past and present, the woundedness of how we have come into being as a nation, in order that we as a nation may be truly healed. In the words of a brilliant young healer today who heals with her poetry and with her words, being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. Healing also seems to require repentance in the true spirit of that word, which comes from the Greek metanoia. Metanoia, a change of heart, change of mind, a change of consciousness, which in turn must then translate into a change of behavior, a change of actions and of habits. New ways of thinking and being must translate into new behaviors, new habits, new actions. If we are sick, ill, and in need of healing, we can't keep doing the same old, and expect to heal.